thank you this morning for this opportunity to gather together with the believers here, the saints here, the Christians here that are set apart by yourself for salvation, for blessings in Christ Jesus. We are so thankful, Lord, that to see our friends here again this morning and to know that they are well. Father, we want to pray that this morning the message will be one that will be from yourself, that you will speak, because if it is the voice of man, if it's just my voice, then, Lord, it will do little. But if it is the voice of God, we know, Lord, that it will be powerful, and it can be used, and it will be used by your Spirit to bring back, to bring the truths that are important to us, that are that will help us and stir us up as Christians and continue in the faith that we have, that some of us have put our faith in for so many years. Even as little children, we have become Christians and trusted the Lord. So we want to pray, Lord, for your blessing and ask for your help to make these things plain and clear to us in a way that we would appreciate it and would be able to apply it and give glory to you. So we pray and ask in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Again, this morning, our topic that was given to me for our consideration is the topic on the institution of the Lord's Supper. There are many names sometimes that is used for the Lord's Supper. Some people call it the remembrance, where we Christians gather together to remember the Lord. Sometimes you will see that on some boards and people will refer it to as the communion service. So I don't know if there's any more terms that can be used or that people use out there. Do you know, Andrew, or anyone? Is there any other term for that? Hey?
The worship meeting.
And sometimes I'd like to call it the worship and remembrance meeting together, because it's definitely a time of worship. It's not about us. So if you don't know what it is, this breaking of bread is another word for it. Yeah, breaking of bread, or the remembrance meeting, or the worship and remembrance meeting, or the communion. Good for you. Not really good for you, but then we have a message this morning that will make it clear for us. But if you come this morning at 10 o'clock, you would have seen that the Christians were here. There was another service that we had at 10 o'clock, and that is what we had called the worship and remembrance, the breaking of bread. And how did this meeting come about? Like right now, what we are having, thank you, is called, I guess, preaching. The Bible tells us to preach the Word of God in season and out of season. So there is a basis for it, to preach the Word in season and out of season. So we have a meeting like this that teaches and preaches and expound the Word of God. But where does this, does the breaking of bread or the remembrance meeting have a basis? Where is it founded in Scripture? Because whatever we want to do as Christians, we want it to be from the Word of God. Otherwise, it's pointless. It's not something that would be it would be of my own doing, rather than what God has instructed us to do. So where is that basis? And so
I would like you to turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, and I'd like to read with you from verse 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the Lord, they feared the people. Then Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. So he went his way and conferred with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money, Judas' money. So Judas promised and sought opportunity to betray Jesus to them in the absence of the multitude. Verse 7, then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed, and he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat. So they said to him, where do you want us to prepare? And he said to them, behold, when you have entered in the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Then he will show you a large furnished upper room, there make ready. So they went and found it just as he had said to them. And they prepared the Passover. Verse 14, when the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Verse 19. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. And so, we see here that the one who calls for the Lord's Supper, the breaking of bread, the gathering of the disciples together with him, that meeting was actually called for and instructed by the Lord Jesus himself. You will see that, as you say, Andrew was announcing that you are going to have messages that is leading up to Easter, which is on April 21st, I believe. And right here we read that this is the last days, in fact, maybe the last day of the Lord's life. And that these events will happen very quickly in Scripture, leading up to the crucifixion. You will find the events moving very quickly As soon as, I think you read it in John chapter 12, where Mary of Bethany, Lazarus, where Lazarus was raised from the dead, Bethany, where Mary anointed the Lord Jesus with a very expensive ointment, and Judas said, "Why did you waste all this money? This box of ointment, perfume is so expensive, it's probably worth a year's wages, and you just broke it and just poured it on him. Why the waste?" But the Lord Jesus rebuked Judas and said, "Let her alone. She is doing this for my burial." And so you will see from that point onwards, things were moving quick and fast. And it will lead up to the crucifixion. Certainly along the way, we will see it in the next couple of days or so, was this happening, where the Lord Jesus told his disciples to, it was told to us, what day was it? It was the day of unleavened bread, or, which is called Passover. Is it the day of unleavened bread, or is it the day of Passover? Which one is it? Well, it is both. Because when you go back to Exodus chapter 12, let's turn there. I think that is of value. So you will see that verse 12, it says, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt. And the Lord says, 'This month shall be the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, and lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbors next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need. You will make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of first year, and you take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the household where they eat it. Verse 8, then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Do not eat it raw or boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and with what of it and what remains of it until morning, you shall burn it with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." And then verse 33 of the same chapter, you read this. And the Egyptian urged the people that they might send them out of the land, because the angel has come, and it is killing all the firstborn child of the Israelites. And what happened now is that the Egyptians are in a panic because their firstborns are all dying. And this is what they said in verse 33. And the Egyptian urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, we shall all be dead if this goes on. The angel goes around and he kills all the firstborn. We shall all be dead. So get out of here. Move out. Quickly. And that was why the Lord told the Israelites, now, when you're eating the Passover lamb, after you have put all the blood on the doorpost, so that when the angel of death passed over, when I see the blood, the Lord says, I will pass over you. I will pass over your household. You will be protected by the blood of the lamb. And I will pass over you. And the Egyptians didn't know anything about that. And there was no blood on their doors. And so their firstborn were being killed. So while they were, the Lord says, while you're eating this Passover lamb, you have your staff in hand. If you have your sandals ready, you have your belt on your waist, you are ready to go because the angel of death is coming. And he's, I'm going to strike. And then Pharaoh will know what I meant. My word that I have said, let my people go. And Egypt and Pharaoh will learn in a very hard way that God means business. That when God says it, it will be done. And so this morning too, there's a message for us. The Lord told the Egyptians, told the Israelites. He says, I'm going to send my angel of death, and they were going to pass through the land of Egypt. And if you want to be saved, you have to follow this instruction. The instruction is you must have a lamb that is with no blemish, no scars, nothing. And it shall be that you will kill it, and the blood of this innocent lamb, which is without spot, without blemish, that blood shall be put on the doorpost, so that when I, the angel of death, comes, send the angel of death, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. You will not die. You will be saved because the lamb has saved you. The lamb, the innocent lamb, is taking your place. And you will be saved by the blood of the lamb, the innocent lamb. This is the message of salvation. Do you have the blood of the lamb? John, the Apostle Paul, pointed out and says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. There is death coming, my friend. Yesterday, I was in Vancouver with my wife. We went for a wedding, a funeral, a memorial. And our friend Carol Eisner died because of cancer. And you know what? Someday, all of us too will die. And when that happens, and when you go into eternity, when this life is over and you fly away, the question is, you fly away to where? Do you have a Savior? The Israelites had a Savior. The lamb that they had, the blood that they killed the lamb, the blood they put on the lintel, on the doorpost, and the angel of death passed over. There's only one way that you and I can be saved this morning. The angel of death is coming. And the scripture says, prepare to meet your God. Are you saved? Do you have the blood of the Lamb covering you? When one day death sweeps through, will you be saved? Can you say you are saved? Can you say that you
have a Savior. This Lamb today for the Christians, all of us who are saved, saved from what? Saved from that angel of death that is coming. Are you saved? Do you have the blood of the Lamb? This Lamb is Jesus, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Jesus died, and we applied his death, his life, his blood on us, as it were, so that we can be free. So that we don't need to die. Just like the Lamb was killed and the Israelites go free, the Lord Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. And when we take him and apply his death, knowing that he died so that I don't have to die, you are free. You have life. And this is the context that the Lord Jesus instituted the Passover. So this, instituted the breaking of bread. So today, in the modern church, in the 21st century, we as Christians gather everywhere in different buildings and sometimes in houses, sometimes maybe in parks. And we do this. We remember the Lord because the Lord says, you do this until I come. Well, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, please, with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Time is passing very fast. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And verse 23. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthian Christians, the Christians that gather in Corinth, and he said in verse 23, chapter 11, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" So he told the Christians, he told the believers, the disciples, his followers, "Do this in remembrance of me." I ask you this morning, as believers, as Christians, where else did the Lord Jesus say to his disciples, "Do this in remembrance of me"? The answer is, there isn't. This is the only time, this is the only ordinance that the Lord Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Verse 25, "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Again, nowhere else in Scripture have we been so instructed by the Master himself, we heard this morning, to do this. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the blood, of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if he drinks, or if he eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, eats and drinks judgment to himself,
not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. But if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. So we see that this is the one and only time the Lord Jesus told his disciples, do this in remembrance of me. Nowhere else. And in fact, you will see that in Luke chapter 22, where we read just now, is the Lord Jesus says, what did he say? He said that with desire, or with fervent desire, verse chapter 22 and verse 15, the Lord Jesus says, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. The Lord Jesus has desired to meet with his people, to meet with his disciples. And this is a time where Christians are instructed to gather together to remember. Do this, not to remember, not to have a good time, not to having a party, not to remember someone else. We have remembrance meet. We have memorial meeting like yesterday for Carol Eisner who died. But he says, not to remember anyone but me. But me. So this is a desire that the Lord Jesus had. And he was, you know that his heart was beating hard during the last week of his, before the crucifixion. He was full of emotions. Because he was... He could not hold it. He had to say, someone in our midst is, one of you is going to betray me. The 12 disciples. One of the 12 disciples. He was burdened. And he says, one of you is going to, Peter, you are going to deny me. That's heavy. Your good friends denying you, those who have said they will follow you, die for you, they're going to deny you. And the people that you taught and thought you were good to, and Judas is going to betray you and sell you away for 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane where he sweat and blood, as it were, drops of blood coming down in deep agony. So he was in a lot of emotions going through him. And in that emotion, in those emotions, in those very part of the depth of him, he says, if I desire to eat this with you, go and prepare. And so in the New Testament, church, we remember this instruction of the Lord. There are only two ordinances, or sacraments, sometimes it is called, that the Christians, those who trust in Christ, are told to do today. Number one is that being baptized. But that's another message. I have only 5 minutes left. How can I finish? That's being baptized, right? If you're a Christian, if you say that you have believed in Christ, are you baptized? The other one is that we are to break bread to remember the Lord Jesus. Do this in remembrance of me. So, the question now is, I'm going to move very quickly now, is what is the meaning of this thing that the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 22, he took bread and he took wine. And, you know, if we, like we did this morning, have you ever wondered why? I have. Why don't somebody just give thanks for the bread and wine and then, voila, give out the bread, give out the wine, done. Why do we have to give out the bread and then stop and then give thanks for the cup again? Why? Can we do that? Well, I guess we can do that if we wanted to. But if we want to follow what the Lord Jesus did, you will realize that in the account on Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that each time the Lord Jesus gave thanks for the bread, and then he took the cup, and he gave thanks again for the cup. So, if you want to follow what the Lord Jesus did, maybe we do that as well. And that's what we are doing. That's what we did this morning. And so we have, he took the bread. What is the bread? The bread is, he says, what did he say? What did the Lord Jesus say? The Lord Jesus said, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Take and eat. This is my body." And then he took the cup. "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." Is it really the body of the Lord? There is a teaching in the Catholic Church especially called transubstantiation. It says when you take the bread and you eat of it, it changes into the body, the flesh of the Lord. And when you take the cup, it changes into the blood of Christ. We do not believe that. We believe that the bread is just a symbol to show that his body was broken as we take, as we all peel from it, piece by piece. We tear the bread. His body was broken on the cross for our sake. And as we take the cup, it's the fruit of the wine, and we drink of it. It's not the blood of Christ. How do I know that? That it didn't change into the blood of Christ. How do I know that? That it didn't change into the flesh. Because the Bible also tells me. God did not leave us wondering about this. Because he says, and the scripture was quoted this morning, it says, that having offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down at the right hand of God. And when Moses was asked to strike in the Old Testament the rock so that water will come out, the blessing will come out, and that rock, we are told later, is Christ that followed the Israelites. Moses struck it twice, and the Lord was angry. Because you know why? The Son of God only needs to die once. He doesn't need to die again and again and again and again to wipe out the sins of the world. His blood is so vicarious, so powerful, so rich, that he only needed to die once, and it will cover the sins of the whole world. He doesn't need to die again and again, and his blood and his flesh being torn again and again, week after week. No. So that is only a symbol to remind us that Jesus died. And as each of us take a portion of it for ourselves, that Jesus died for me. Is that important to you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ? Is that important to you, dear Christians? That you should be therefore remembering what the Lord said, "Do this in remembrance of me." So the question now is, who should take, if you are here at 10 o'clock this morning and you see the bread going around, passed from hand to hand, should I take it or should I not take it? Who should take the bread and the cup? Well, the 1 Corinthians chapter 11, which we read just now, it is those people who know what they are doing. The reason for taking the cup. Because the Lord Jesus says, this is my body broken for you. This is this is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you. So the question is, do you recognize that? Do you know that? Do you believe in that? So if you are a believer, if you already are a Christian, and you say, yes, the Lord Jesus died for me. Yes, he shed his blood for me. Yes, on the cross he suffered for me. And you say, Lord, you are my Savior. And when God sees your blood on my heart, he will pass over me and I will be saved. And therefore, I believe. And now you become a Christian. That's simple. You believe that Jesus not only died and rose again on the third day, that he died for you, and that he can be your Savior, and he is your Savior. Then you know what? The Bible says, the Lord says, do this in remembrance of me. You are already a Christian. So who should take the cup and the bread? Christians. Simple. Those who are born again. If you're not a Christian, the Bible says, don't take it. Pass it from hand to hand. And so, some Sunday mornings, I will stand up and I will see some visitors. I will say, we are so glad that you are here to visit with us this morning and to see how we remember the Lord. If you are a Christian and you are baptized, please remember the Lord together with us. If you are not a Christian, if you don't know what this is all about, please do not feel that you need to take of this. In fact, please pass it to the next person behind you. And then we can talk to you more about this. So, therefore, it is only for Christians. Did I say that a person who is baptized, believe and baptize? That's a hard one. Because I never read in the scripture that you need to be baptized before you take the bread and the cup. I've struggled with that. You definitely need to be a believer that you are saved, that you have the blood of Christ covering you. But do you need to be baptized? Well, if you ask me, I would say, taking the bread and the cup is very public, right? You're telling the people, I have put the blood of the Lord Jesus on me, and he is my Savior. I'm part of him. I believe I am his. Therefore, I will take off the cup, and I will take off the bread. That is a symbol of his body and his blood shed for me, and I will eat of it because I am part of his. Well, if you want to take the cup and then why not get baptized? What's the problem here? Right? Both are very public thing. You are showing that you are part of Christ by taking. Then why not take, that says, believe and be baptized, the scripture says. Again and again. Go ye into all the world, the Lord Jesus said in his great commission. Preach the gospel to all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father. As part and parcel of our obedience. We don't need to be baptized to be a Christian, to be saved. Because baptism follows believing. It doesn't mean that I'm baptized, therefore I'm, you know, I drink of this cup, therefore I'm saved, you know. I don't believe it's okay, but the blood of Christ is in me, therefore, no. You have to believe first. We call it believer's baptism. If you are not a believer and you get baptized, that is of no use to you. That's a ritual. That's religiosity. That does nothing for you. That's only going through a motion. No good. But if you are a believer and you want to be identified that you are saved and you were buried with Christ and you rose again together with him to newness of life, and that's when baptism is meaningful. So therefore, I would say to any young Christian, you want to break bread? Show the world that you are part of his. Declare to the world that you are his. Get baptized. Get baptized. That is part and parcel. Baptism is not an option for the Christian. Baptism is a commandment. And we need to be baptized in obedience to what the scripture says. So therefore, who eats of it? Christians, those who are believed and who are baptized, and those who are worthy. No, it says, if you take of this, and make sure you take of it, examine yourself, and you take of it in a worthy manner. My time is already up. But yeah, that's important. I give myself 5 more minutes. Okay, is that all right? 5 more, only 5 more. Is 5 more minutes okay? Anybody? Yeah? All right. I didn't hear that. Yes? Okay. In an unworthy manner, what does that mean? And I see Christians, and they come to the remembrance meeting and they say, and you see that, how come? How come Lucy, I hope there are no Lucys here. How come Lucy didn't take the bread this morning and just pass it on? How come Patrick just passed it on and he didn't take the bread? And you realize that as you talk to them later, you say, I don't feel worthy this morning. I don't feel right with God. In fact, I have not been living like a Christian all week. And I am convicted about it. And I don't think I'm worthy to take the bread. Have that happened to you before? Yeah? You feel like you shouldn't take the bread? Well, what does it really mean to be worthy of the body of the Lord and you take the bread? If you want to go back to the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it's talking about Christians, those Christians in the Corinthian church, they were not very kind to one another. Right? They were doing their own thing, and when they come together, they did their thing. They had no regards for their other brother or sister in Christ. They were just doing their own thing, and they didn't, and maybe there was division, there was argument in the church, and all kinds of problems. And the Lord says, and it says, do this in a worthy manner. This is the body of the Lord. So as we come, one thing in this context is we know that the Lord says, if you want to break bread, put your offering down first, right? And then go and say to your brother, I'm sorry. Say sorry to your brother and get it right. If you have a problem with your brother or your sister, then come and worship me, the Lord says. So it's important to reflect that unity, that oneness of the body of Christ. But what it means by being unworthy of the body and blood of the Lord is also this, that you eat it without regard, even as a Christian. You sin, you do the things that you want to do, and you come and as if nothing happened, you just take it as, you don't even feel remorse. You don't regret. You're not struggling with sin. You see, that none of us are worthy. It's the Lord that is worthy. And we are partaking of his worth in the sight of God that saved us. We are all not worthy. Only Jesus is worthy. The Lord Jesus is worthy. So therefore, you will if you want to find one person that is totally worthy of the take the bread, you will find none. Nobody will be taking the bread and the cup. All of us are not worthy. It's only the Lord Jesus that's worthy. So what he's saying is that worthy of is that you look at yourself and you're struggling with sin. You know that it's not right, and you are saying you're depending on the blood of Christ and the body of Christ that he's your Savior, and you are so glad, Lord, this morning, if not because of your broken body that you died on the cross, if not because you spilled your blood on the cross, I would not be here this morning in the sight of God. Lord, help me to overcome sin in my life. I want to get out of this mess. And so before God, you are contrite, you are sorry, and you are struggling with sin. That doesn't mean that next week but you're struggling and you don't want to continue in sin. And you're struggling and struggling with it. And therefore, you know you're not worthy, but the Lord is worthy. And in that sense, therefore, you know what the worth of Christ is. Therefore, you are taking of it in a worthy manner. I hope I made it clear enough. So what does it say? Examine yourselves. Know before yourself, if there's sins that need to be confessed, confess it to the Lord. Keep short account. And therefore do what? Don't eat? No. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat. Every Christian should be taking of the remembrance of Christ, of the cup and the wine. So, struggle with sin. Know that you are not worthy, but the Lord is worthy. And that you continue to be thankful that Christ died for you. When is it done? It's done every Lord's Day. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. So this is how often do you do it? You do it once a week. How? Where do we get that? We get that from the Bible. I can talk to you about that more if you want later. But my time is already up, my 5 minutes. But I want to just say this. How do we practically, as a church, you know, if I'm a Christian, if one day I will grow old, I know that I will grow old. And you know that you'll grow old too. One day I will grow old, and if there's only one meeting I can come out to, which meeting would that be? I think I will come to the Lord's Supper or the Remembrance Meeting. Because that's the meeting that the Lord desires to be with his people before he suffers. That's the meeting the Lord says, do this in remembrance of me. That's the most important meeting to me. It is because Christ died for me that I am saved. I'm a child of God. And so, if that's the only meeting that I can come, I will come to the Lord's Supper, to the breaking of bread. And when I come, I want to be in time. I remind myself, sometimes I struggle for so many reasons, I will be late. When the children were younger, the children delayed me. And then sometimes all kinds of reasons, and they are good reasons sometimes. But I try as much as I can. Sometimes things happen, tire puncture, we are late. God is gracious. God knows. But if I'm on a pattern that I'm continually late, then I think I need to correct that. I need to correct that. The reason is this. Can you imagine we start at 10 o'clock, like this morning, and we all seated here, all of us are on time, but the Lord is late. And we continue for half an hour, and the Lord is not here yet. The Lord is late. What's the point of our meeting when the Lord is not here? Well, let's do it in the vice versa. The Lord is here, 10 o'clock, and I'm not here. I'm late. I disappoint, I waste all my brothers and sisters' time because I'm not here together with them. I'm late. But not only that, you see, when we have our Sunday morning meeting, there's no program, right? Nobody says, Henderson, you stand up. Nathaniel, you are next. You read. Nobody says that, right? Who said that? Who says that? Who calls the shot? You think? Well, we believe that it's the Spirit of God, right? And the Spirit of God is not random. He doesn't say, maybe this, maybe that. Yes, I think. No, the Word of God, the Spirit of God is orderly, right? God is a God of order. So when he starts in the morning at 10 o'clock, he has something in mind. And then I come 10:25 and I barge in and I say, let's sing song 320, which is totally out of what everyone is talking and saying. We have been to some remembrance meeting where we find it so wonderful because there was a theme where everybody seemed to be guided by the Spirit and they just flow along. But imagine if I have no head and tail what's going on and I say, maybe the song was already given 5 minutes ago and we are singing a second time. I'm scared of that. And because I'm scared of that, I come early. And I make sure that I'm already there. So, therefore, it is important. It is important to be here, first of all, and it's important to be here together with the believers because this is the Lord, what the Lord wants. Lastly, and I'm done. This is so important. You know why? Why is it Easter is coming up? Why is it that we don't remember Easter? We only have Easter celebration once a week. But we have this celebration of breaking of bread every week. Why not talk about the power of the resurrection, the rising of Christ? Why talk about his death? Remember his death. Why? Have you asked yourself? Why the Lord asked us to remember him in his death and not his resurrection? Well, a very quick one. You see, the death of Christ is a shock to heaven because God doesn't die. In heaven, there is no death. So when God became a man and hung on the cross and died, it's a shock to heaven, to the angels. What? And so this is the point and the central point of his human history and of all eternity, that God became a man and hung on the cross and died for you. God, as it were, hung on the cross and died for you. That heaven will always remember. Because there's always life. There's always resurrection in heaven. But there is no death. And so we remember Christ died for our sins. So I hope that next Sunday you will plan. You will plan to come, and you plan to come early, and you plan to remember the Lord, drag yourself out of bed, and sometimes it's not easy, I know. And may the Lord bless you. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you this morning for all that is said. We pray, Lord, that it has been said with grace and with the way that the Lord Jesus would have put it himself. If it is not, Lord, may your Spirit be the one that smooths things out. And Lord, may you bless us and may these truths of the Scripture be instilled in us so that, Lord, we might also value coming together as a body of Christ to remember the Lord, just as the Lord wanted it to be.
So we can thank you for this afternoon, for all our friends here, and for the people that we know. Lord, we thank you for keeping them well. And we pray that it will continue to be so until you come. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.